Go out to the phone line. Talk some Chiefs football with our guy, Danian Hughes, of course, color commentator for the Chiefs Radio Network. You hear him right here on 96.5 The Fan Sunday afternoon as the Chiefs take on the Bengals, and he is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danian, good to have you on the show. One final thought just from last week, and then we obviously move on to Sunday's game against Cincy. But what you saw from the offense against Baltimore, it seems like that still is just maybe the tip of the iceberg of what's ahead.
Yeah, fellas, good to be with you guys again after a big win last week. And, you know, as far as that Ravens game, I thought it was par for the course in regards to what we've seen from this team, offensively, defensively, special teams. Like, there are teams out there, there are organizations out there that want to be their best week one. They want to jump out and showcase everything in week one. And we've just not been that kind of organization, which is a good thing. Like we saw the peak of several teams this past week in week one, likely not to get any better, possibly to get worse. And for us, it's always kind of been just step-by-step part of the process. So I appreciate getting wins whatever way we can. We left some points on the field. Obviously, the game probably shouldn't have been that close, but it's a win, and it allows us just one up in the AFC. And we know that we can get better. Who knows where the Ravens are going to go from that point, if they can play any better, or if they feel like they have enough confidence that they can play better. But we know we can. So to me, that makes it a double win on our side. And still room for improvement.
So with Isaiah Likely and the toe barely being out of bounds, did you wear the white shoes when you were playing?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. You always wear white shoes when you can, and you always wear white gloves if you're the away team or if you're the home team. And here's why. Because the other team has white jerseys on. So if you want to try to get away with a holding call or something like that, you wear gloves that are close to the jersey of the other team, when possible. Obviously, you can't wear blue gloves against the Chargers, but if you are playing at home, you want to wear white gloves whenever possible because the hands blend into the jersey.
When you look at what the rosters are, this is what we've kind of said about these two teams, Danian, is more than any other, and I understand every single Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow matchup has been decided by 3 points. This is the most lopsided I think the rosters have been going into it. I'm not saying it's Panthers versus Chiefs from a roster construction, but if I looked at the 10 biggest parts of the field, I think the Chiefs might hold the advantage in 8 of them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, we can still look back, even at the games that Joe Burrow and the Bengals beat us. Like, I still feel like we were the better team. We just didn't play great that day in all 3 phases. This right now, if you want to go with the small sample size of week one and what we were able to do against their rival in the Ravens, you can make an argument that we're the better team, especially with how they lost, how their offense didn't seem to be as proficient as everybody would have thought. Some of the things that they've had to deal with Ja'Marr Chase holding in and the T. Higgins issues and Joe Burrow and the injury, like it doesn't necessarily bode well that you'll see the best of them for several weeks. But what we do know, even based on last year when the Detroit Lions came in, you guys heard me say this, we can take some credit for the success of the Detroit Lions because having them win on our soil in week one had to catapult them from a confidence standpoint into multiple wins that ultimately got them to the NFC Championship. The Cincinnati Bengals coming in, Cam Taylor-Britt talking trash, Ja'Marr Chase not wanting to say Patrick Mahomes' name, Joe Burrow carrying himself the way he does, the overall air and confidence and even semi-arrogance of that organization tells you that if they're able to come in here and get a win, it can be a catalyst for them to change their season around. So, like, there's more on the line than just the matchup in week two or the normal matchup around the league. Teams have been able to utilize the platform of playing the defending 2-time Super Bowl champs as a catalyst, as a springboard for their season. We just don't want that to happen with the Bengals.
We're talking to Danian Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him along with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel. Sunday afternoon, your home for the Chiefs as they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. We know T. Higgins probably not playing in this thing on Sunday. Jamar Chase, I know he was limited last week a little bit with not practicing and everything. I expect him to be a full go, obviously, on Sunday. How do you approach that if you're Kansas City? You know they don't have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and Boyd's not even there anymore. If you're Trent McDuffie, is he shadowing him all game? How do you think the Chiefs are going to approach Jamar Chase?
Yeah, I don't think it's about a shadow because you can work around a guy shadowing somebody by running him in motion, moving him into the slot. That's something that's going to benefit us throughout the season with Xavier Worthy. Just lining up a guy outside the numbers like Marvin Harrison used to be is not necessarily how offenses bode now. They don't have that same kind of success with a Hall of Famer type receiver, just lining him up in one place. Defenses are much more intricate, much more creative, and you can figure out ways to kind of shut down one side of the field if you do that. So I envision what we've seen from Jamar Chase as well as the Bengals in his 3 years at the helm is that he's been a guy that they move around. They will line him up in the slot, which is tougher to bump and run from the slot because there's so much movement and so much field that a player can work with versus lining up on the numbers. But yeah, he's their number one guy. And there was a setback last week because he hadn't practiced very much. I'm sure because of that, he didn't have the gasoline in his tank that you would have liked to see for game one. But he's earmarked this game. They've earmarked this game against the Chiefs. He understands that in his mind, it's a rivalry. There's disrespect. They remember the Burrowhead. They remember the push out of bounds. They remember the ouster out of the playoffs. And I feel like they're going to come with a strong sense of making big plays to quiet our fans down. Because the fans are going to get stirred up, too, at Arrowhead Stadium. And they have done as good a job as any other organization with quieting us down.
Danian, when you look at what that is, because these two teams hate each other, right? I likened it to, I joked about like Kendrick Lamar's new song, but just like hating everything about the opposite end of everything they do, whether it's football or life related. Do you think because of that, this game is more likely on Sunday to play like a division game in which throw out the normal rules or the talent differences or anything else and just it'll be a slug fight because that's what division games are?
Absolutely. I feel like this is the new rivalry. You think back to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They were not in the same division, and they still had that kind of heated rivalry. You add in some of the trash talk, and obviously the team that's had the most success against Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback that's had the most success against Patrick Mahomes outside of Tom Brady. Like, there's a lot of levels to this that make it more of a rivalry against a non-division opponent than maybe we've seen here in Kansas City in a long time. So, like, that's where we're at. The guys understand it. The organization understands it, and they'll be ready.
We know Travis Kelce in week one was quiet, but we mentioned there was plenty of impact he had just by being on the field, and also he did a great job in blocking. Do you think we see the results, I guess, in terms of the numbers? There was some national conversation, much like last year, where people were saying, oh, is this a sign that he's lost a step? Was it just week one that, hey, Rashee Rice was everything there underneath in the middle and that Travis Kelce was drawing the attention away?
I think from a national media standpoint, they get caught up in volume because that's what you maybe see around the NFL, whether it's Jamar Chase, whether it's Justin Jefferson, whether it's the top receiver, Stephon Diggs, when he was with the Bills, Devontae Adams. We can go on and on with guys that are volume guys or part of volume offenses. And even though Travis Kelce is a number one target, like this organization, this offense, hasn't necessarily lent itself to being a guy that is going to get 12 targets every single week. He'll have his weeks where the matchups are obvious and Patrick Mahomes is targeting him more, but then there's going to be the weeks where it's Rashee Rice. Then there's going to be the weeks when Hollywood Brown comes back. Then you got Xavier Worthy. Like, who knows? There are going to be weeks where Noah Gray might get targeted a little bit more. just based on how the offense is flowing. It's not indicative. It's not always indicative of losing a step or getting old. If Travis Kelce is garnering 2 and 3 guys in coverage and their attention, that means somebody's open. Like, there's only 11 guys out there, and 4 or 5 of them are rushing at the quarterback. So if he's got 3, just by mathematics, there's another guy open. And I'd like to be a part of an offense, and I think we are, where our great quarterback will find one of those other easier targets to hit as opposed to trying to force it in to the greatest tight end.
You mentioned Noah Gray. Matt Nagy, speaking to the media now, just talked about how he's really upped his trust factor for Matt Nagy inside of this offense. How surprised were you? Like, I mean, I guess by the contract, but Danan, his immediate, seemingly bigger impact in the offense in week 1. I don't think he's getting 37 yards a game, but that was a new and improved Noah Gray I hadn't seen yet.
Well, the trust, to me, it wasn't just in the passing game. It was in the running game. For him to be that hybrid fullback back there and lead blocking on some of the run plays, you can envision some of the pass plays that will come off of that, where he has maneuverability in the middle of the field like a running back. So, like, it's all part of the process with this Chiefs offense that guys grow within the offense. And he's been here, this is his 4th season, and it's his 4th season behind the greatest tight end in the game. So there's only but so much you would have seen from him up to this point to kind of give you confidence. But I give credit to Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, because they likely saw something that we hadn't been privy to. We just see him as a backup to Travis Kelce, but there's more in his tank, and they're utilizing him as that hybrid guy, the H-back, the fullback, the conventional tight end as well. Not saying he's going to be a mauler like Jason Dunn was as a tight end, but he's going to be serviceable in that role, which is going to open up his opportunities in the pass game. So they see something, they saw something, they signed him the extension. I like his complementary approach to the game in regards to our tight end room. And I envision that he'll have more and more opportunities to make plays. He's made some big plays. I don't know if we win 2 consecutive Super Bowls without Noah Gray and a couple of the plays that he's made.
Danan, I know you obviously pay attention to the rest of the league and what happened in week 1 as well. I'm just curious if there was a performance, positive or negative, that could impact the Chiefs that maybe surprised you at all, other than Cincinnati losing to the Patriots.
Oh, man. Other than Cincinnati losing, because it knocked me out of a couple of survivor pools.
You and a lot of people.
Ouch.
Yeah. I think I kind of blacked out after that happened around the league. But, I just think maybe the Patriots, you know, they get a boost. I mean, I feel like that there's some similarities to the Detroit Lions coming in here last year, and maybe how the Cincinnati Bengals fared against the New England Patriots with a new coach. Like, there's something to be said about that. Who knows how the noise is going to unfold in the AFC East. I thought Buffalo kind of looked mediocre until Josh Allen kind of got his wits about him, and they were able to overcome. I would have thought that would have been an easy win for the Bills at home against the Cardinals. But around the league, you had the interdivision matchup between the Chargers and the Raiders. Who knew how that was going to unfold? Chargers could feel a little boost with Jim Harbaugh there and getting that win. So I think there was no true surprises to me. Carolina is really bad, and that's what they look like. Maybe you thought Atlanta would show a little bit stronger, but there's some question marks there, and we'll be able to see them next week. So I'm not going to go too far deep into the NFL, the total landscape after week 1, but I feel good about us.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Again, you'll hear him on the call Sunday afternoon as the Chiefs take on Cincinnati right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, Danan. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, fellas. Thanks.